Welcome to episode 76 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Barzeski. Joining me this week again, Alan Olson. Hello.
Hello, Eric.
Did you have a good weekend?
Not too bad. Got to watch a little golf, and it was actually about freezing.
It was, and today it was kind of nice here. I can see grass, but we still got a long ways to go. Did you catch the NHL All-Star Game on Sunday?
What channel would that be?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's on Versus or the Outdoor Network. I did not catch it.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. Chris Osgood, I must say, not impressive. Goaltender for the Red Wings on the All-Star team, but the young star scored 6 goals on him in 6 minutes. And then he got beat like a rented mule in the first period of the Eastern versus Western. I think 4 goals scored on him in the one period. So I'm not sure there's much to be afraid of there.
No.
The Red Wings have a good record, so maybe I haven't checked because I'm an Eastern Conference guy, but maybe they've put up a lot of points. And
the backup goalie got them there.
Yeah, they have put up a lot of wins, and so we'll segue into the actual show now, the purpose, and a guy that's gotten a lot of wins in his career, 62 now, as a matter of fact, Tiger Woods winning his 5th consecutive, or no, sorry, this was his 4th consecutive event at Torrey Pines, at the Buick, one of the Buick events, whatever this one is. So winning his 62nd, he wins by 9 shots after kind of, he was up by as many as 11. Bogeyed a couple holes in the back before birdieing 18. As dominating a performance as we've seen from Tiger in, you know, since the last time he played.
Yes, same story, different event.
Yes, the Buick Invitational, this one.
Yeah, I mean, there was no doubt after Saturday, but it was still fun to watch. And, I mean, you're watching history in front of you as he just beats down another golf course.
And this was Tiger preparing for the U.S. Open. This was Tiger preparing and aiming at sides of the fairway. The commentators made several points about how, you know, even though you may want to come at this hole from the left side of the fairway, because the fairway slopes left to right, Tiger's been aiming at the right side, or sorry, right to left, whatever, because he knows that when it gets a little firmer in the summer with the U.S. Open, the ball will roll down to that position anyway. So Tiger Woods, I've seen him do this at the Memorial, where he'll play shots that aren't necessarily the right shot for that hole. In preparation for the U.S. Open. This was an event where he could play those shots as if it was a U.S. Open, oftentimes hitting a 3-iron off the tee when other players hit driver, for example, because he's trying to get a feel for how it's going to be in the U.S. Open, still manages to win while playing perhaps not the course now, but kind of what the course will be in his mind in a couple of months.
Yeah, not bad for just doing a little prep work before the U.S. Open.
Ryuji Yamada won the B flight, finished in 2nd with a final round 67.
Yeah. but you know what? It was still kind of fun to watch. You got to see a top 10 finish by Fred Couples. You got to see the kid that was the ultimate last alternate, you know, the alternate. And then he ends up playing with Tiger Woods on the weekend. That was kind of fun.
Our next topic here is, of course, the non-playing cut happened again. Something like 85 players made the cut on the number. Tiger Woods basically told them, hey guys, play better. You know, if you make, it's kind of the point I made a while ago. If you make one more putt, you're playing and you're not. We skirted around the issue. We didn't really talk about it. But what would you make the cut policy on the PGA Tour be if you had to decide it? Would everyone with 70 and ties get in? Would you go with what they have now or would you do something different?
I think what they've got going on now, I think you have to come up with a hard policy of what if it's going to be 70 and that's it, or 60. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think, do any of the tours do a very good job at this is what the cut is? You know, the PGA Tour versus, say, the European Tour. I don't know. Is there a good solution to this?
I don't know that there is, but I would support the closest number to 70 and ties. Whatever the closest number to 70 is that gets you in. If that's 68, great. If it's 62, so be it. If it's 62 and 79, 62 is closer to 70. So I'd go with 62. Just make it a hard cut. None of this non-playing will give you last place money and some FedEx Cup points crap. Just make it, you know, some weeks you might have 62, 63, 60, but so what? Because other weeks you'll end up with 80.
Right.
So something like that may work out versus this vague play a little bit better. You know what? If you're not one of the top 60-some guys, 60-odd, you know, 65 guys, whatever, in a weekend, whatever. You know, I don't know that I care about a guy who shot 73, 71. The odds of him shooting a pair of 63s on the weekend are slim to none. So
yeah, if you can't make the top 70, go practice.
And don't get paid for it.
Exactly.
If you can shoot 61, you can win the Qatar Masters, as Adam Scott did this weekend. An impressive victory and an impressive final round, came from several strokes back to win by 3. Scott wins the event for the 2nd time in 2 attempts, but what I wanted to talk about here was he had several opportunities to shoot to make birdie putts that could have put him on a, you know, pace for a 59. But like he did at the Memorial Tournament a couple years ago, when I think he shot a 62 in one of the rounds, the second round or something like that, he missed a lot of the birdie putts coming in, makeable birdie putts. And I start to wonder, the question I wanted to ask him if I had the balls, basically, was given his the way pressure seems to affect him when he's shooting for 59, does he think that he has a realistic chance at ever winning a major if the pressure affects him just shooting one score in one round somewhere? And I'm not so sure that he does have the intestinal fortitude, because several times he's been in a position to shoot a great score, 58 even, misses, you know, makeable putts and kind of gags it away.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I mean, here's a guy who shoots 61, he had 25 putts in the last round, but the first round he had 33. You know, it's like, I mean, from a putting standpoint, you don't know how you're going to get 33, 25. And like you said, how many birdie attempts did he miss at to go for 59? I don't know. Yeah. Mentally, he's, you know, off the tee to green, the guy is great. Get him on a green. I'm just not.
He's Sergio-esque on the greens.
Yeah, I would not be putting my money on him to be winning a major if it came down to the last few putts.
Four rounds of consistent putting just don't seem to be his strong suit.
No, it's hot or cold.
But he did use the AP2 irons to win from Titleist, so.
Woohoo, way to go.
Well, that can fill in as our commercial this week. I'll be posting something you should check out on the site. My on-the-range impressions of Titleist new irons. I got a chance to hit them at the PGA Merchandise Show. So I'll be posting that sometime Thursday or Friday. If you're listening to this, check the site out. Check that tidbit out to see how they perform. I think you'll be surprised by some of what I have to say, given that I tend to play very traditional muscle-back type iron.
They look a little different for something coming from Titleist.
That's right. We'll move into our forum topic of the week here. This one is from Subpar, who has a handicap index of 7.7. So
quite impressive, 7.7. He's in the upper echelon of golfers.
Right, but unlikely to be subpar at any time. Unlike Phil Mickelson, whose performance Subpar describes basically as subpar. He says, Phil Mickelson bores me. He says, who thinks Phil will still be great someday? Anyone? Will he even get 45 wins by the time Tiger has 90? He's number 2 in the world and he's playing like he's number 15. I bet he falls out of the top 5 in the world this season, maybe even the top 10. And there are, of course, responses to this, but Al, your response is what?
I'm not sure what Subpar is smoking. But I'm highly doubting.
It's a cigar. It's in his avatar there.
I don't think he's going to fall in the top 5. In the top 10, no. I mean, Phil's problem is, okay, he's got the same problem everybody else does. He's playing in the same era as Tiger. So, I mean, it's irrelevant. But to sit there and say, you know, Phil Mickelson bores me. It's his first event. The guy's coming off bronchial infection.
Right.
You know, he's just not going to come out of the gate. He's not Tiger Woods.
How many wins will Phil have this year? Because I think Phil is getting over the hill. I think he's on the downward side of his career. I think the three majors there were his peak. And I think he's on the downward side of his career. He's in his 40s, so on. You know, I don't know that he'll get to 45 wins, but I think he has. How many does he have now? Like 38, 39, 40?
Something like that. I think
if he's in the high 30s, I think he'll get to 45 pretty easily. And who thinks Phil will still be great someday? I think he's already been great. I think if his career ended now, he would have a great career. Three majors is more than 99.99999% of other professional golfers that have ever played. So he's had a great career to this point. But I think he's on the downward side of that career. And I'm not sure that he has the moxie, the skill, quite frankly, to challenge Tiger. Especially as Tiger seems to be nearing the peak of his game right now.
No, I think right now it's a really good assessment on Phil. I think Phil's good for probably a couple of victories a year. I think he usually wins the one in Atlanta. And he's probably good for that. Will he, you know, will he play well in the majors? I just think he's too erratic. You know, we saw the Phil that won the majors, you know, really toned down his erratic driving and not trying to hit the ball 4 miles. And I mean, Subpar made some good points. I mean, he has to bail himself out a lot. And, you know, I saw one of his shots this week. He's 60 yards in the fairway, and he spins the ball back 30 feet, and he's got a 40-foot putt for birdie.
Yeah.
And he three putts.
And that's Phil being off for the week. So I'm not sure the courses this year for the majors set up very well for him, and he's getting older. He doesn't have the Vijay Singh work ethic, so I don't know how successful he's going to be in his mid-40s.
No, he's just got too many other things. I mean, he's very family-oriented. He's got different charities and stuff he deals with. I just think he's got a lot of off-course distractions as well. So yeah, probably in his, you know, the next 10 years, you know, you'll see some victories out of him, but I think his great era, if you will, is probably It's probably dumb.
Does he have any more majors in him?
Not this year.
Is Tiger Woods going to win all of them this year?
Right now, I'd put money on you bet.
I think the course is set up very well for that, so it's a scary thought.
It is. I mean,
and Oakland Hills does not set up. I don't think Oakland Hills sets up well for Tiger at all unless he goes with kind of the 3-wood, 5-wood, 2-iron, 3-iron approach off the tees all week. But at that point, if he has 3 in the bag, I've never seen anybody better under pressure, and that would be an inordinate amount of pressure. So,
and the fact that he can sit there and hit 3-wood or 3-iron or 2-iron or whatever off the tee, and the guy hits long irons in the greens better than a lot of the rest of the field is going to hit their mid irons.
Right.
So, advantage Tiger.
All right, we'll be right back after this message from last year from Titleist. We're still waiting on new ads, but hey, check out Titleist.com if you want to see a new ad.
Ones, twos, threes, and fours.
But mostly ones.
I never start with a two.
Ones and threes.
I never play higher than a four.
Low numbers.
I like ones.
Anything but ones.
Fours in the final round.
These ones on Thursdays.
Twos on Fridays.
Threes on Saturdays.
And fours on Sundays.
Five, six, seven, or eight.
Whatever my caddy hands me.
Threes.
Anything but a three.
Nines. Any number.
Any number. Any number. As long as it's Titleist.
Whatever the number, more players trust Titleist than all other golf balls combined.
All right, welcome back. Next section of the beating balls segment. First one.
Oh, I took it literally. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, that's all right. Hey, guess who's coming back for her first? Well, we got a Michelle Wee sighting. She's going to be in the Fields Open. She just accepted a sponsor's exemption. So the end of February, 21st through the 23rd, will be your first shot at she and Michelle Wee.
Yeah, Eric, so this is three rounds. This is why the LPGA Tour is just a little hokey. They have these weird three-round tournaments. They have tournaments that end on Saturday. They have tournaments that I think are like Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I mean, they play in like Mexico 4 weeks. They have 2 weeks off in the middle of the season. They go to like, they play in like Korea once. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, Michelle Wee, this is the year I think she has to do something. I'm willing, based on her performance 2 years ago, I'm willing to give her a pass for last year. I don't know what was wrong with her last year. The wrist was part of it. Her parents were part of it. Maybe some teenage rebellion and just, you know, wanting to be done with high school and moving on to college was part of it. I don't know. I do know that this year people are not going to, you know, the people that are still kind of hanging around waiting to see and know that she has talent, this is the last year for them. I don't think they're going to be waiting much longer than last year. And they may not wait more than an event or two. So she has to do well. She doesn't have to win right away. She has to play well. She has to not have an injury. And she has to make a cut on the LPGA Tour. I expect her to do it, but so much of it, I think, depends on where she is mentally, and obviously I have no knowledge of that at all, so guess and my prediction is tempered with, you know, that lack of insight. So
I think this is going to be extremely interesting, the fact that she's spent the last, you know, what, 4 or 5 months basically off the radar and just being a 18-year-old college student with, you know, hopefully her parents
having, living a quarter mile away in a house they bought.
Yeah, well,
she's not an 18-year-old college kid.
Look up Michelle Wee's parents for helicopter parents in the encyclopedia. But yeah, I mean, if she made the cut, that would be a great first start. Make the cut, come back. Don't sound like the way she has in the past interviews, where it seems like it's everybody else's fault, or, you know, it's like she's a victim of everything.
Yeah.
You know, she's brought this.
And I want her to succeed because she has talent. She's exciting. You know, dare I say it, she's attractive. So she's good for the LPGA Tour if she can get her head is straight.
Oh, man. I mean, she'd be a phenomenal marketing. I mean, with all the young stars on the LPGA Tour right now.
Especially if she joined the tour at some point.
Oh, my. Oh.
But effectively, she's effectively, it's not like she's, you know, playing a bunch of other tours or anything like that. I mean, she's basically a part-time LPGA Tour player. Just, she doesn't want to be tied down to whatever. I wish her well because I would like to see the LPGA Tour succeed, and I think she's a big part of that, or could be.
Oh, absolutely. She could definitely help out the LPGA Tour. Hopefully they won't get rid of these 3-day events and 2 weeks off in the middle of the year and all that kind of stuff. Have some people show up to their events and, you know, increase the money size, the purse sizes. And she can only advance women's golf. Anyway, this next one is enough about Michelle Wee for this week.
Yes.
Get back to us in a month. We'll see how we're doing. The next one story that you can check out in our show notes is toughening Torrey. Torrey Pines was basically beat on by Tiger Woods this last weekend. And, you know, at one point, I think he was, what, 20, 21 under. And we'll, you know,
I think one of the questions asked of him was something along the lines of, boy, you really did the field a favor there with that win, didn't you, jerk? Yeah, I mean, that's basically what this article is about. It's saying, you know, yeah, the USGA does not want, you know, 19 under to win, probably, you know, 13 under or 12 under, you know, anything in that realm. So
I'm not sure they want 5 under.
Tiger. Yeah, well, good job, Tiger. Now it's going to be even tougher. But, you know, I'm not sure that it is. I think the USGA has heard the criticisms of years past, and I'm not sure that, you know, they're shooting for 4 or 5 over. You know, I've heard them say enough times that they don't really care if it's, you know, within reason. I mean, obviously, they don't want 12 under par to win, but they don't want 12 over par to win either. I think they've done a decent job in recent years of trying to tame things back. It was a little overdone at Oakmont, but they've acknowledged that. They said the second cut and the first cut was a little too thick at Oakmont, so I think we'll see a little bit less. The greens aren't as severe as at Oakmont at Torrey Pines, so that will help a little bit. And it's a par 71 this year, so as opposed to par 70s that we're used to in U.S. Open, so that will give the guys an extra par 5 where they can at least not lose a shot to par and maybe pick up some birdies. So I think predicting net 4 under par and a Tiger Woods victory this year.
I would say that's probably a pretty good guess. And yeah, I mean, I don't think the USGA is going to go nuts. I mean, if they did, you would hope they wouldn't. Although, after watching Saturday and Sunday, I'm sitting there in the back of my mind going, I really hope the USGA doesn't go crazy. But we'll see. I mean, putts, I think they said Torrey Greens were, what, about 11 on the stimp meter?
Yeah, they'll be up to 13 or so. But you know, they're not putts. I don't think balls are going to be falling off edges of greens all over the place like they can at Oakmont and like they certainly can at Pinehurst and that. So, you know, I think those greens can take a higher speed and still kind of be okay.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch.
I think the course is boring, but I'm looking forward to the US Open because I think this is one of the first years the USGA will nail it. I mean, weather conditions, you know, and the variability that they add aside, decently normal weather conditions. I think this is going to be one of the first years they really kind of nail it down. And I like the changes they've been making over the past few years.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. It's been interesting. It was interesting to be able to watch the golf tournament at Torrey Pines now in January and see what it's going to look like this summer after the USGA, you know, tinkers with it some more.
Especially since the Masters is turning into the US Open. We don't need two of them.
Oh, please, no.
It's going to be sad if in 10 years the Masters average winning score is 4 over and the US Open is 12 under. So.
Hopefully not, but at the rate they're going, you're probably right. It might be sooner than later.
All right, last story this week is what?
Well, I think Helen Ross is asking us whether or not Tiger is just entering his prime or not quite in his prime.
Well, they said that the 30s are your better years, right?
Yep, 30s
and
for these.
People are like, ha, 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 Tiger Woods won like 12 in his 20s. Ha, 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 that's funny. 30s better, ha, ha. And now they're like, ah, crap.
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting there. I mean, we remember the year he had in 2000 where he basically won every event he was in and all the, you know, three majors.
Well, and a lot of people say last year and the year before were just as good as his 2000 and 2001 seasons, or 99 and 2000. So, and there's some statistical evidence to kind of back that up. But this year might be better than those were.
I mean, he's sitting there saying even in those years, he's hitting shots he could never hit before, which, you know, good night for the rest of the field. I mean, I think his driver is still erratic. But it has gotten better.
And he's learned to hit not the driver sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he'll easily hit a 3-wood, 5-wood, iron off the tee, you know, whatever it takes. But, you know, I think the biggest thing, I guess, for me that I've seen, his short game in putting is lights out. I mean, the guy can get up and down from anywhere. And as far as putting goes, number one on tour.
This is what I don't get. Going back to, you know, this is not really in this conversation, but it kind of is because it's come up a few times. Tiger Woods plays what many say is the spinniest ball on tour. And then, you know, you have the anti-ball, anti-technology people saying, oh, well, every other pro is just hitting it long and straight and they want the least spin possible and golf is boring and yada, yada, yada. The guy that's kicking everyone's butts obviously gets some benefit from working the ball and playing with it. It's both trajectory and shape left and right and all this other stuff. So perhaps the rest of the tour is stupid. Maybe one of them should try to play a spinny ball, try to learn to work the ball a little bit, and they might improve as well. I mean, there's something to it, I think. I don't think you necessarily have to have the skill of Tiger Woods to be able to take advantage of moving the ball both ways.
No, I mean, I think you've got... I mean, Tiger hits the ball a long ways. Duh. I mean, everybody in the PGA Tour now hits the ball a long ways. But the guy's a shot maker. I mean, he plays the ball the way the hole is, you know, designed. The rest of the guys just go out there, hit as far as they can, and then, you know, go from there. he's actually...
I think they're all stupid and they're all missing out on something. They're all complaining about the fact that they have a ball that, you know, goes long and straight, and that's how the game is supposed to be played these days, when the number one guy in the world is not playing the game that way.
No. He's not. No, he's a shot maker. He happens to hit it a long ways, but he's still playing, you know, he plays golf the way it was played.
And he gives up his length more than anyone else on tour.
Oh, yeah.
And Tiger Woods will lay 40 yards back of David Toms. I don't know. I think they're all missing something. And I think if more people work the ball like Tiger Woods, there may be a little more competition there. You know, it's a little tougher to work the ball, but it's not that much tougher. You know, scratch golfers can move the ball pretty consistently. Your error is still going to be the same.
I think the groupthink has sunk in a little too far. And I think that if someone would try to work the ball, they might see a little success.
Well, hopefully one of these younger guys coming up, maybe that's what we have to hope for. I don't know. It seems like everybody right now is just too just resigned just to say he's better than us, so I'm just going to play bomb and gouge and go with that.
That's just the bizarre thing. You know, they look at everything, every aspect of his game to see why he's better, mentally, training-wise, his fitness regimen, everything. But they don't look at how he actually plays golf, you know, and try to emulate that. It's bizarre to me. That's your off-topic thought of the week.
Go learn to work the ball, please.
Yeah, even if you're a 9 handicapper, I guarantee you learning how to work the ball will help you several times per round.
And hey, if anything, if the best player in the world can sit there and say he's constantly getting better, I think the rest of us can work on our games too.
Right. That about does it for episode 76 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Check out our show notes every Wednesday for links to all the stories we've talked about at thesandtrap.com. You can also participate in our forum at thesandtrap.com/forum. Post a question there, and it may be the forum topic of the week next week or the week after that or something. Or send us an email, podcast@thesandtrap.com, Alan@thesandtrap.com. Any of those will work. We'll read your call on the air if it's appropriate and interesting.
And if it's not appropriate and interesting, we'll call you out.
Or read it anyway.
Exactly.
Because we like those too.
Exactly.
Has to be the right kind of inappropriate.
We like interesting. If it's controversial, send it our way.
That's right. For Alan Olson, this is Eric Brzeski saying, God, I hate snow.
Stay warm, please.